Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Hi, hello, friends. Welcome back to the worst year ever.
Goodbye, friends.
Yeah.
Wait.
Neutral.
Shit.
People?
I mean, do you want me to I know, that wasn't a good intro. Do you want me to redo it?
No. We never redo the intros, Katie. We just accept our incompetence and celebrate it.
That's another way of saying we yes and each other.
The news is pretty news.
The news is pretty news. It's a lot of news in the news.
Yeah, there's a lot of news. Yeah.
Although technically less news during the time the news was happening. Yep. Less access to the news.
Less access to the news because Facebook just took a big old shit.
Oh, yes. We've
that
been alluding
seems like
to
a
Facebook
good news
issue.
Extremely
news
funny,
at.
Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just have a moment of appreciation for Facebook
years of appreciation.
Being down.
Yeah, it's very funny.
I did, of course, with everybody else, have a moment of, may this be permanent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's online.
May this be irrevocable. But here we are. It's been revoked.
It was funny.
It was funny.
So
what's not funny is the large scale impact of, the world relying on Facebook and Facebook's acquisition of literally every other social media app, so that they all went down and placed that, which greatly affects people in certain areas of the world that rely on these services to communicate. So that part's not funny, but the part we were just talking about is funny.
Yeah, they still unclear like why it happened exactly and what happened, but it's. I mean, the series of events of it disappearing and then people making jokes and then people being like, no, it's like gone. You can't do it. You can't go there. And then seeing pictures of them trying to get into their building.
That was very funny.
Fun. They had that to part's fun.
Apparently use a fucking angle grinder to get in.
Yep.
That's
yep.
extremely funny.
Gotta step out of the digital world and...
You know, can't even access Facebook emails for the company. The entire
yeah, they're using like Outlook and stuff.
Yeah, it's extremely funny. It's not really a big deal. It's just like people fucked somebody. I don't think we know the exact cause, but somebody fucked up.
The timing of it is strange, though. So this on the heels and right before the test. I'm not saying this in a conspiracy theory sense, but the timing of it is unfortunate, or fortunate.
I mean, you see, here's the thing, because people are talking about, like, there was just this big TV, like, interview thing that was, showed a bunch of wrongdoing, a bunch of reporting around wrongdoing.
Well, there's
Facebook
a whistleblower.
And stuff.
But she's like, speaking to Congress today, I think,
Yes.
Can you think of a month when there hasn't been a big Facebook scandal recently?
Well, this is really big in terms of her testifying in front of Congress today, and
providing like
yesterday.
In a lot of internal research and stuff.
You are right
in that every single month someone's like, by the way, Facebook is garbage, you guys. It's
a
real
here's
problem.
Fucked up thing that happened. Yeah,
but this is, I would say, a case where like she is putting her neck on the line to come forward with a lot of information that is not available or has not been available to the public that Facebook has kept internally. And speaking today. So I do understand why, like, I understand why the conspiracy theories are being thrown around. It is unfortunate timing. Hopefully the focus remains on the stuff that she is saying and revealing, as opposed to the hilarity, the unequivocally hilarious events of yesterday.
Yeah, it's very, very funny. I don't think it's really that big a deal, and I'm kind of like, yeah, I mean, maybe it was a hacker or something sketchy, but people fuck up all the time.
Because there are so many different versions of this conspiracy, the idea that it was something like that. Even pointing to, like, a post of, like, I've got 1.5 billion users' information on Facebook, but it's from like a post from like a week or so ago. Yeah. So like it makes no sense that like, and then a week later, Facebook went down. A lot of people are suggesting that like,
and that leak wasn't really a big deal. It was the kind of thing that happens all the time.
It was like name, like a name, yeah. and like a phone number wasn't even. I don't even think it was like passwords or anything like that
for sure.
So like it's just sort of like these again, sort of to your point about how like every month there's something where because of that you can point to that and that and that and go, oh, surely they're all related, as opposed to just Facebook is generally very bad and being hacked.
Yeah,
and,
it's a shitty company that does bad things, and maybe somebody fucked with them, you know, maybe somebody went after them, maybe there's some scheme here, but it's also entirely possible that it's just like people fuck up,
and also people don't like Facebook, so maybe there are people in Facebook who are like fuck you, but also there's an element. I saw people suggest that they did it, like Facebook did it, so that they could delete all the data and research that the whistleblower was talking about, which is like, first of all, she has it. She's it's out there. But
yeah, I'm gonna guess she backed it up.
Yeah, right. And I think most importantly, especially when it comes to conspiracies like this, you don't have to shut the website down to delete information.
You sure don't.
Yeah, I mean,
that doesn't add up. The only thing I will say is like, yeah, maybe they're like, oh, fucking, we'll fucking shut down
our own
Facebook so that you realize how much you love us. But it's all silliness, and we may never know what happened.
Well, we may never know. Ultimately, that does not matter so much as some of the things that this exposes or brings forth that we should be paying attention to. One, again, like I just mentioned earlier, the effects that we of the world depending on one company and one platform. I mean, also the shit that's being discussed today in the congressional hearing and how they, you know, use their platform. But that will be unpacked at a later date, I'm sure.
Yeah,
but this AOC tweet is good. It's almost as if Facebook's monopolistic mission to either own, copy, or destroy any competing platform has incredibly destructive effects on free society and democracy.
Yep.
If Facebook's monopolistic behavior was checked back when it should have been, perhaps around the time it started acquiring competitors like Instagram, the continents of people who depend on WhatsApp and Instagram for either communication or commerce would be fine right now. Break them up.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the takeaway of this.
Yeah, and that's the response that people are like, don't celebrate, you know, Facebook going down because it's really bad for, you know, people in these difficult situations. And no, I can celebrate Facebook going down because part of why their situation is desperate is that Facebook has monopolized communication. And
right, that shouldn't be the case that, like, all these people, like, don't have other ways to communicate. And things like that. If
you
Facebook
can celebrate
goes down.
It while also acknowledging the very real ramifications of what this means, and that because it's this, it's not while also it's acknowledging it.
It's a problem, but also like Facebook is responsible for why some of those people are refugees. Like the fact I'm not celebrating that some poor family in Malaysia is unable to connect with their family members who had to flee the country to avoid an ethnic cleansing. I'm celebrating that a bunch of Facebook employees got locked out of their fucking office because something fucked up, and a bunch of people who kind of haphazardly have in fucking the world were inconvenienced, and that's kind of funny. And you can do both. It's fine. You don't have to do that. You know, it's the thing that happens whenever somebody posts a picture of an animal doing something funny, and someone's like, "That's a sign that the animal's, you know, really distressed." It's like it can be a funny video of a fucking a marmot or whatever. Like, stop doing this. Don't do this thing where you're like, actually, you shouldn't think this objectively funny thing is funny because of this other bad thing that's happened in the world. Like, stop it. Just stop it. Let people enjoy a thing that they have no control over.
Or even just like, yes, it's funny, and here's this thing about it.
Yeah, yes, there's problems. Doesn't mean that it's not funny that they had to have somebody break into the Facebook offices because their entire system was reliant upon the DNS server never dropping.
Yeah.
Because they automated too much and bought into the IoT bullshit too much, and it turns out that stuff is sucks.
Also, pretty funny that the there's a lot of jokes during the day about COVID misinformation and things of that nature, and like, oh, Facebook's down, time to get everybody vaccinated, things like that. And I think it's funny that everyone's like, everyone congregated on Twitter because everything else was down.
Yeah,
where misinformation also thrives.
Yeah,
it's like
primarily
so much
what Twitter does,
right? Like so much misinformation about what happened to Facebook was spreading around while people were joking about how like Facebook's down, the misinformation hub of the globe. It's like, well, it's everywhere. But at least nothing will be done. Maybe something will be done. This whistleblower is testifying to Congress today.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's one of those. It's interesting. She was reading her opening statement last night that she's going to give today, and there's it's in depth. It talks about like her position there and how long she was there and sort of, you know, her experience and so on. And there's a passage where she likens this to tobacco companies.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, as I was reading it, like I was thinking, you naturally sort of think like, yeah, remember when like they all knew these lies were lies and
yeah.
they released
yeah.
them anyway, and they had their own research and they withheld it and stuff. And so she likens it to, here's the passage. When we realized tobacco companies were hiding the harms it caused, the government took action. When we figured out cars were safer with seatbelts, the government took action. And today the government's taking action against companies that hid evidence on opioids. And that's all like fair and true, and reading it, I'm like, it's so disappointing that same is true of like ExxonMobil and oil companies, and that's never gonna happen. It's not like I have no larger point. It's just reading that I was like, oh, you skipped one. Oh, you skipped one because we all skipped it. As a society, we just skipped over that part of knowing that they were lying and knowing that they had all this research and withheld it, and yet here we are.
And yet. Should we take a little quick break?
Seems appropriate.
Yeah.
I would love to.
Let's break out with our
snakes. You can say snakes out. I know.
Out. Yeah. Something like that, Cody. Something like that.
Our snake stakes.
Yeah. Snake out with our breaks out.
We really got there.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Put your stakes back in, folks. Time for some more news. Wait, that's not the name of this show. It's time for Worst Year Evers.
Some even more worst year ever.
Confusing. What do you want to talk about now? You want to talk about 2024?
The year?
Yeah.
Is that another worst year ever?
Probably get a Star Wars, right?
It will be.
We will probably
get a
Star Wars and some culture wars.
Maybe we'll get a Fantastic Four.
Oh yeah, that would be fun. Because you know what we don't have enough of is attempts to make a Fantastic Four movie that people want to watch.
We need more Fantastic Four attempts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll never get it right, but it'll always be entertaining. And I will never watch them, but it's entertaining just to know, oh, they tried again and failed.
That's never seen a single one. Will never.
No, and never will.
Never.
Really? But all of your time at Crack, neither of you guys have seen a Fantastic Four?
Never.
Why in God's name would I have ever watched a Fantastic Four movie?
All right.
Can't think of a single reason that I would.
I had to watch the fourth or fifth Transformers movie. The one where they put the law in Texas
where they write an extra scene about
I had to watch
the Romeo and Juliet
Cracked,
law, is that what
and
it's called?
I never watched another movie for Cracked. Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's like
incredible
moment. It's an amazing moment because it really does seem like they were filming the scene and they end the movie and they're like, wait, we got to go back. We got to like put this in to make it okay.
Yeah, and I'll guarantee you, somebody said like, oh yeah, we should, let's get a printout. And then the fucking Michael Bay was like, oh no, I have one.
Don't worry. Yeah. Oh, you need one? Yeah, we'll just use mine.
We'll just use the one I
have this conversation every day.
Every single day this comes up.
I've had this scene written for years. Anyway.
I'm talking about 2024 in terms of the election. Yikes, huh?
Oh, so a different kind of worst year ever.
Yeah. Although there's like with the Transformers movie, there is a chance that one of the presidential candidates will pull out a laminated piece of paper with Texas's Romeo and Juliet law on it.
That is real fucking true,
man. I mean, not an insubstantial
either
chance.
Side, really. Like, there's no way to know.
Yeah, that's the Gates Taylor Greene ticket, right? God, you know he's got that card waiting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, he has it instead of a diploma on his office
He's
wall.
Just like, look at this.
Framed.
Look at what I live by.
This is my code.
God.
Sorry. What we were talking about, Donald Trump, probably, right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's fun. Is he going to win?
Just no, but he's maybe going to run.
Yeah,
he's maybe definitely going to run. I don't know. He's not.
It's interesting. There's a pretty good Washington Post article. And the point it makes is that, like, he's been talked out of formally announcing because there's no benefit to him.
It's 2021. And, like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know who? There's a Democrat who was in the primary who announced he was running in 2017. And he did. He was on the debate stage. It was one of the one of the forgettables.
Team.
Yeah.
Well, one
of the forgettables.
I want to say Delaney. I think it was Delaney.
Delaney. Yeah, who? That guy.
Yeah,
stood
that
out.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Yes,
so
I remember
argument...
his stance of he had money, right? He's rich. Was he the rich?
They
one?
All have money.
No, that's the other guy.
The other guy. The other guy.
The other guy who said he was rich. Not Bloomberg. Yeah. The other guy.
Yeah.
Speaking of rich, Donald Trump is now no longer one of the 400 most rich people in America, according to Forbes.
Yeah, that's
what a loser.
For now, until this lawsuit against his
fine.
Niece for $100 million goes
through. Until he gets $100 million from his niece.
So just you wait. Yeah, so... One of the he's apparently chomping at the bit. He wants to announce, but doesn't. And he was talked out of it basically because if he announced now, then the Democrats would just run against Trump on the midterms, and that wouldn't look good for him. And it also talks about how reticence within the party necessarily to support him, but there aren't any other candidates.
They will. I mean, they'll fall in line as soon as it
happens.
Fall in line.
I like this quote.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to be talking about it yet from the standpoint of campaign finance flaws, which frankly are ridiculous, Trump said on September 11th when asked if he would again be a candidate for president. But I think you're going to be happy. Let me put it that way.
Let me put it that way.
What
September
an interesting way to
2021.
Right.
Yeah.
Never forget.
Never forget.
What a funny thing to say on 9/11.
Yeah, yeah. But I think you're going to be
like
quite happy.
A former president of all people. Like
on 9/11.
Just the most ridiculous man in the world.
Yeah, he's... I don't know. You know, he will probably run if he thinks he can win.
Yeah,
it's. I think the midterms will have an impact because it makes sense that he wouldn't want to be announced and like kind of make the midterms about him if he's not confident that they're going to actually take back the House and Senate.
Right.
He's getting the thing that he likes most. He's doing his fucking meetings or his speeches, and he's getting money. He's raising funds in a way that no former president ever has after losing an election.
Yeah.
So I think there's a better than even chance he tries to run again. But also, like, and this is the thing that doesn't seem to get discussed a lot in the articles I've read kind of evaluating this. At his age, the difference between 1 and 2 years can be huge. Can be the difference between being able to move under your own power and not, you know?
Although, I will.
Same with Biden, you know?
For sure. Yeah. I will say also, so... Because the thing about Donald Trump is that he doesn't like being the president. He doesn't want to be the president. He didn't want to be the president. He didn't enjoy being the president. He liked being a popular man that got to talk all day. He liked the attention. He liked running for president. That's the fun part for him, running for president.
He liked that.
He liked that. And, like, I've seen some, if you've seen any interviews with him recently, He is looking so much better than any of the years he was the president.
Yeah.
He's speaking a little more clearly. He just looks like he is a healthier person getting like actual
sleep.
Yeah, because
being the president's bad for you.
Exactly. And so it's just interesting to see that sort of like that very quick transformation and just like him talking about how like, yeah, he was miserable. He was miserable being the president. He didn't like it, but he needs to do it.
Did he say that?
Yeah, it's because he can't stand the thought of being a loser.
Yeah, exactly. And we all know that he's a loser.
So
and
is this your like argument
Arizona
for him?
Last year or last week, like you lost again. You're a triple loser.
But mm-hmm. I'm curious what you mean by this. Is this to suggest that you don't think he'll run? He just likes teasing it? Because I think that.
Oh, I think he will run. Probably
because he thinks he can win, he will. Because he wants to. He doesn't necessarily want to be president as much as he wants to wipe away the stain of losing.
Yeah, he wants to get like revenge, and he wants to be a winner again. Because he knows he's a loser. He knows he lost.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't really have a point of prediction.
Yeah, I don't know. Nobody
it's just
does. Like
he wants to because he wants to be, you know, he misses the spotlight. He's like trying to get back on Twitter and stuff.
It's theoretical. Literally anything could happen between now and then, obviously. Yeah. But you can feel, I know the media is excited because they fucking love Donald Trump. They want to talk about him. They want to write articles about them. That's what's happening now. Mm-hmm. They want to prey on that. And people are paying attention. And people are perking up. And Sophie, not perking up, but like saying, Donald Trump, what did you say? What? Where? Who? Sophie, you texted this right before we started recording. But that article about him reapplying for Twitter, I mean, that's all part of it.
Well, he sued. Yeah. He's suing.
Submitted his application for the Twitter. Mm-hmm.
And it's in Florida, so I'm always
one
like,
Twitter, please.
It could happen because Florida.
Right, right.
Yeah. I think one of the things people should keep in mind, if you're old enough, you know, if you're not one of our Zoomer listeners, think back to 2005 after Bush got reelected. Think back to 2012 after Obama's or 2013, after Obama got inaugurated for the second time. Think about who people were talking about as possible presidential choices at that point in time. And then think about who became the president next in both situations, right? I think there's a pretty good chance that somebody who is not yet a major figure, or certainly not yet like the assumed figure, winds up being the person who's the front runner. You know, on the Republican
side. Well, right,
side.
Something
like that might happen on the Democratic side, too.
Like baseball, they just have to peak at the right time.
It would be nice. But, like, think of where Obama was in fucking 2005. There were some people who were, like, saying, oh, this guy might, you know, might have, but he was not a major, not a big name, you know?
Not a huge name. I think his speech at the DNC in 2004 was the first time people were like, oh, you should try to be the president.
Yeah, but it wasn't like nationally people weren't like, oh, well, it's probably going to be Barack Obama in 2005. Right. Like, and people weren't like, oh, well, Donald Trump's probably going to be the Republican front runner in 2013, you know?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Anything can happen. It is just that like flash in the pan moment for a lot of these situations. Like DeSantis is going to try to run. Like all these weirdos are going to try. And maybe a new King Weirdo will emerge.
Yeah, who the fuck, like, literally anything could happen.
Somebody could be more Donald Trump
exciting.
Than Donald Trump, right? In a way that isn't, like, very clearly, like, I'm trying to be the next Donald Trump. I'm doing the thing that he did. But just, like,
No, someone in a totally different but equally effective way. You know, Toby Keith could finally run.
It might not be totally different.
It also might not be totally different, exactly.
There will be similarities, but also, like, Trump, as that pretty good article in the Washington Post points out, not super popular, like on a national level.
We had a whole election about it.
And to be honest, one of the situations in which I think Biden might have the least trouble is if he runs against Trump again, because Biden, not super popular right now either, but also people aren't going to forget, like I think it's a lot harder, the fucking Trump voters who flip to Biden, because they were so unhappy with Trump, I think it's going to be pretty hard to be like, well, let's try Trump again.
Like, yeah, that's exactly. Not, like,
yeah, yes, maybe they sit it out, but like,
potentially. I mean, that's certainly true. And you're right. This article does point that out.
Yeah.
You know, it says that, I mean, he it says he's got about like 45%. Support
but
or something.
There's also
but even
information
within
that an internal poll gave him just like 40.
Yes, there's that. And like around people that are Trump supporters, there's a percentage that think that he is too divisive, etc. So absolutely at this point in time. And yet he still is the strongest potential candidate at this point in time amidst who is currently
well, because
on everybody's radar, for sure.
Nuked the Republican Party.
But,
like,
yeah.
The Republican Party is nothing but Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
Now.
So
whatever
that's why
he wants
there is a potential for this.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, I mean, we'll see what happens. Everything you've just said. But we'll see what we do in the meantime. We'll see what gets spun. We'll see what we don't do. You know, they're smart to not have him announce yet because the midterms would be about him instead of being about the Democrats, which right now we're in the hot seat for. There's any number of things that can happen between now and then that Republicans capitalize on in the way that they do to make the case and switch the winds here. That's the phrase, right?
Yeah.
We'll see. This is all theoretical. Obvi.
Yeah, I imagine every couple of months there will be a new series of articles along these lines about like just all this sort of speculation and till the end of time, until we see what happens. Can't wait.
Even after he dies, because we can like hologram him.
Yeah, maybe like there's some reanimation sort of thing. Will the
yeah, like
of
Herbert
Donald
West
Trump
Reanimator, Cody. You remember that movie, Herbert West Reanimator?
Reanimator, yeah.
Pretty good movie.
Mm. Better than
that's my real
Transformers
advice
5.
On the 2024 election is watch Herbert West Reanimator this month.
This makes
it
me
will
think
do more for you than thinking about 2024.
I don't know anything about that movie, but
it's great. It's a really good movie. Very fun.
Is it about undead presidents?
It's about undead stuff for sure.
I my best Halloween costume one year, was it a freshman or sophomore in college? Me and my best girl went as the undead founding fathers. We just got some white wigs and were George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, but with zombie makeup.
The dead presidents.
Oh, that's news.
Well, speaking of, we don't know how the election will go or who will run or how the midterms will go. And a lot of that depends on what the Democrats do. Maybe we talk about our favorite Democrat, Kirsten Sinema.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Her wonderful
Kirsten
adventures.
The K Hive. What do we call Kirsten Sinema fans?
The Sin Hive?
The Cinnamons.
Cinnamons.
Cinematophiles?
Cinephiles? Cinephiles, pretty good.
Cinephiles. That's what we're doing. That's all right. We got it. Locked it down. You know what? We're done for the day. That's it.
Bye. She's been doing great.
She's nailing it.
It's weird watching all of this go down and being like, damn, Joe Manchin's better than Kirsten Sinema.
He really is a lot less. Because he actually, when they accosted him on it, well, not, I think it was rad that they kayaked up to his boat, but like he did engage with them. Like if you actually watch the video, he doesn't come across badly in it. Like he's,
well, the thing about
talking
him,
with them.
Yeah, he talks to them and he's like engaged. Like, I agree with that. There's an element of his approach that is at least clear. I have an issue with both of them for many reasons.
Like
but
I have this is not to like praise him. It's just to say that like, You compare him getting accosted on his yacht and how he handled it to Kirsten Sinema in the bathroom.
We should clarify before we talk about all these things that we're discussing protesters approaching senators and confronting them about
during their day.
During their day, out and about in their lives. About their refusal to support the Build Back Better bill. Yeah. And so also, that's for context.
Yeah. They're the two holdouts currently for this this series of legislation that is supported by the president and like most of the party.
It's a big time compromise, but this is like his legislative agenda. This is the thing that you want to point to with these midterm elections.
And it's like bare minimum stuff in a lot of cases, but it is something. And the idea of like whittling it down even more, especially when those two people trying to do that are Democrats,
especially when the rest of the party agrees.
Yeah.
And the president was voted for under the anyway, go ahead.
And there's an element of Manchin and Sinema that there's no necessarily like principle beyond like whatever it is, but lower. This was a $1.5 trillion bill, Manchin would
want a trillion.
We need a trillion. We need to bring it down to a trillion. If it was a trillion, he'd want to bring it down under a trillion. It's arbitrary in a lot of these cases. He just wants to say a lower number. It's very frustrating to see. And like corporate tax rate stuff, his suggestion now, to bring it down is like he requested a higher number years ago when the proposal was higher than that. So it is just a game of like that, but lower, just so I can say that I'm being reasonable.
Yeah, so and so I can say that I did a thing. He's doing all of this so that he has like so that he has something to run on. Like he's doing it
right,
all
look
for
at the
campaign.
Look at the power I exercise.
I saved you X dollars.
Exactly.
You know? Like yeah. That's the only reason he's doing this.
Yeah, it's very transparent, but at the very least, he says what it is that he wants from it. In all these cinephobe videos, they're very clear, like asks and like what do you want to get rid of? Do you want to get rid of this? What do you want to get rid of this? If you get rid of this, this will happen to me and my family and all these sort of things. And she will not ever say anything concrete. Maybe she says it behind closed doors with the president and her donors, but she doesn't like make herself available, or explain what she's going for beyond getting all of the attention. And that's it's like extra frustrating that there's no, like open conversation for it. Exactly.
She's just towing this line.
Well, she stands
and like,
for
look, Arizona, it's also just so cowardly. Arizona is, of course, very divided, narrowly went for Biden. And it's polarized there. And she's making absolutely no choices. Well, she's making a choice.
Yeah. And it's not good for her. I mean, one of the things that's interesting to me is like Manchin. I think there's people who have talked about like his the money he gets from the coal industry. I'm sure he has a financial interest that's driving some of this. But I think probably the number one reason he's doing what he's doing is because it'll be good for his reelection campaign.
Absolutely.
Yes. It'll make it easier for him to run again and win. I don't think Sinema wants to win again. I am not 100% sure. Maybe she's like, you know, maybe it's just it's very simple corruption where she's going to get herself a nice cushy job after this. But like her approval ratings have tanked. This is not good for her in any way.
Well, right. It's not good for her in terms of getting reelected.
In terms of getting reelected.
But like,
and
I
don't think she cares about that.
No,
but it's good for her in terms of maybe being a pundit on Fox News.
Well, that's the thing.
Or,
not even
in terms
you know,
of getting a consultant job at one of the firms currently giving her campaign money.
Lobbying. Yes. She will get at least, you know, she'll have a book out about it all. She's going to like she's. Getting the attention.
The world's her oyster.
Attention, in addition to actual currency, is currency. And she's, you know, breaking the bank with this. But not breaking up the banks, because that would be appalling. That'd be something that she'd want to do 10 years ago.
Far,
she purported
far too
to believe
bold
in
a stance.
It is amazing to me to think that at one point she showed up in Black Block in Seattle at a fucking, I think it was a WTO protest. Yeah. Like,
Not that long ago.
Not that long ago. Like a decade or so ago.
What changed,
Kristen?
Well, she made $1 million since she became the thing, since she got elected. I think that has an impact.
I want to share this old quote from 2003, Kirsten Sinema. In 2003, Joe Lieberman, at the time, one of the worst Democratic senators, traveled to Arizona to campaign for his party's presidential nomination and was regularly greeted by anti-war demonstrators. He's ashamed to Democrats, said the organizer of a protest outside a Tucson hotel, a left-wing social worker named Kirsten Sinema. Quote, I don't even know why he's running. He seems to want to get Republicans voting for him. What kind of strategy is that? Truly
Indeed,
incredible.
Kristen.
Seven years later, Kirsten, you can find video of her complaining about people in Congress having health care paid for by taxpayers, but you don't have health care. Do you have health care? No.
Yeah.
And it's...
Which, good point.
Yeah. Good point. Kirsten Sinema, circa 2010. Again, mm-hmm. not that long ago.
Not that long ago.
So it's very transparent what's sort of going on. She
did she run on universal health care? We don't know. Probably not.
No, definitely not
in Arizona.
So in response to this and this frustration, she hasn't had a town hall in years. She is not making herself very available to her constituents or communicating to the public her intentions.
Yeah.
It's all this sort of backdoor stuff, which is very Congress of her. But that is why. You see people who
very
see like, okay, so you got hundreds of thousands of dollars from pharmaceutical companies, and then you tried to not get these prices down for pharmaceuticals. It's very transparent what's going on. It's very clear how you get her ear, how you influence her, how you can get her to do things. And it's not vote for her. That's not how you do it. You got to give her $100,000. So in that situation,
and it's apparently not meet her in the bathroom either.
Well, right. So like in that situation, what you're going to see are people who want to have her represent them, like voters who don't see that. And well, I don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to give to her. So I'm going to follow her and ask her questions. And then she's going to go and hide in the bathroom. And so I'm going to go in that bathroom.
And I'm going to keep asking her
these questions that she will not answer. And it's just a very like I understand this sort of argument. Even like there are other people in that video who had nothing to do with Kirsten Sinema, who didn't want to be involved, didn't want to be recorded in a bathroom. In which case, I'd say like blur their faces or something. I understand
there's an element of privacy for other people.
Just conversation to be had. But the crux of the conversation about her specifically is it's just like there's a lot of like pearl clutching and moralizing around the core issue.
People focusing more on that than the reason why people are confronting Sinema and trying to get her attention are losing sight, purposefully ignoring what's at stake and what it means for so many people to pass this bill, even if it's not what we really want.
Because she doesn't give a shit.
She doesn't give a shit. So why should anybody care that about her being annoyed that they followed her in the bathroom? And yes, I also agree that I understand that it made the other people in that video uncomfortable, that there are some privacy conversations, absolutely. But, you know, you shoot your shot.
to talk to her. It's the kind of thing that also then there are these other videos of people doing this sort of similar thing, but like in other locations, and it's all being sort of conflated. And now anytime she is like, you know, someone went up to her on a plane and at the airport and stuff.
Which
and like
was
that.
Awesome.
Well, yeah,
awesome,
exactly.
In my opinion.
And also pretty calmly, like reasonable stuff. It's not,
nobody's threatening her.
They're not threatening her. They're not like screaming in her face. They're, sternly asking questions, in some cases softly asking questions. But it's not like they're not physically accosting her or anything like that. And so you get these other videos, and then that is conflated and packaged together with, like, they went to the bathroom. That's an invasion of this. And so now it's like, well, then what do you want to happen? What do you want people to do? I will say there is a scenario where if she, like, let's say next time she goes into the bathroom, if you wait outside and record her, that's also a pretty good video of her going into the bathroom and not coming out for an hour, even.
That was my
like,
one
she's
note.
Just gonna,
was,
she's just going to hide.
I could see you just waiting. Yeah, just wait. She'll come out. What goes in must come out.
At a fundamental level, it's the same question that you had. You know, this was a lot. This didn't start last year, but you have it a lot with protests where it's like, well, they're blocking the road for this protest and that's stopping like normal people from getting to work. And it's like, Yeah, and that sucks for them. And I've been in that situation, and it is frustrating. And you're not wrong to be frustrated, but like they don't have, there's no other option.
In the case
of the protest, the state's given us no other option. People have to disrupt things. In the case of Kristen Sinema, she will not. She has provided no other way for people to interface with her, for her constituents to question her.
Right. So what else is there to do? Also, a lot of these people who are like, don't do this, are the same people who said, get in Mitch McConnell's face 3 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pick a lane, I guess. And also, just, it's the kind of thing that, like, the reaction is just going to be like, well, we should have legislation that makes it illegal to go up to Congress people. I'm sure that won't actually happen.
Yeah,
but
this is...
I do suspect somebody will try to draft that up.
But, it's happened before. It'll happen again. All of this stuff. Keep going. But keep it up. I'm proud of you guys.
For all you cinephiles and cinephobes out there.
Cinefucks.
There's no segue here beyond Sinners. Saying it's time to take a quick break.
Ah, you know what Kristen Sinema loves? Ads.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not.
We're back.
We sure are.
And I do think it's worth noting that even Joe Biden was like, well, Kristen, that's just what happens in politics. Is sometimes your constituents like find you in the world and ask you questions.
It's so funny when that happened because there's like an element, like the original person who like tweeted it is like some like right wing weirdo.
Yeah.
And he cut off the phrase because like what Biden said is like, I don't approve of that behavior, but that's what happens. That is the process.
Yeah, it's just normal. Yeah.
And so like you get all these people like sharing it like, ha, this is really hilarious. Look at Joe Biden doing this. And then you get other people who are like, well, actually, he said he doesn't approve. So like you're misleading, and then you get other people who are like, I can't believe just the words I don't approve but are justifying, it's okay for him to say this, like everybody's wires are crossed. It's really, really funny to watch.
It's really stupid, and the actual reasonable take is that like, yeah, like it's his opinion is that they were being rude, but he's also accurate when he's stating like, this is just what happens. Like if you don't have any right to complain about this sort of thing, it's just politics. Like, suck it up, Kristen.
It's really funny because like there is, it's just that there's something about Joe Biden specifically, I think, where he's able to do that. Like he's been in politics for so long and people have this sort of like the weird, like just sort of trust for him. And like, he's just so old and like done with stuff. Yeah. And it's like, that's what happens. You know, come on, man.
What are you going to do? Well, spoken like a real grandpa.
It can be used for evil for sure. But it is funny when he uses it for something like this.
Yeah, it is.
Should we talk about other things? You still
Has
have things
anything
to talk
else
about here?
In the world? Are there other things on the planet?
There's so many things. How about that oil spill in Orange County? Mm-hmm. Pretty bad. Pretty fucked up.
What?
There's been a huge oil spill in Orange County. I think it was 170,000 gallons of oil.
Huntington Beach, right?
Huntington Beach and the beaches. Yeah, there's the governor just declared a state of emergency today, I believe. It's pretty awful. They've already removed 3,000 whatevers of oil from the whatever, but like I said, a whole lot more.
Yeah, it's a shitload of oil. It's going to kill a bunch of stuff.
It's catastrophic.
9,000 shitloads of oil.
Yeah, it's bad. It's another bad thing.
Interesting. In the context of the monthly Facebook debacles.
Yeah.
And them knowing it's a fucking mess, and then this type of thing that's happened for decades as well. I'm sure it'll be fine, right?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
I think it'll be fine.
Oh. I thought
I'm not sure it'll be fine.
I was hoping it would be fine.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine.
Do you think people will see consequences for this?
No.
No.
No. I think it's fine.
I think everything's so dumb.
Yeah. How could one more oil spill matter? I'm not trying to be a dick about this. How could it possibly matter? Like in a sense of like it changing anything.
Oh, for sure. Like, no, it's another card on the pile.
Obviously, It's killing the ocean more. Okay, it's doing damage, but like,
Huntington
how could it matter
Beach people,
to people's
anti-
response to climate change?
Well, okay, I'm pitching one. Okay.
Okay.
In Huntington Beach, largely conservative Orange County.
Very conservative,
yeah. And this uh-huh. oil spill is going to close their beaches for months and months and months.
Yeah. And
so there is a world where this does change some opinions in Huntington Beach, specifically, at least for this time period. Does that answer your
that's
question?
That's something. That's 5 months to think of about. People in Huntington Beach maybe changing some of their minds.
Yeah, but also in Oregon, you know, when we had our historic wildfires last year before the historic wildfires this year, rather than being like, oh boy, maybe climate change is a problem, the conservatives set up armed patrols to attack yeah. the Antifa they thought were lighting forest fires. So I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm in a bad mood today.
No, I am.
I'm just not like, yeah, I mean, it should, like, every time something like this happens, it should be people being like, you know what, let's arrest a bunch of fossil fuel industry executives and take their money and destroy the ability of their companies to function because they're criminals who are endangering all of our ability to live. But that hasn't ever happened before.
Mm. Why start now?
Why would we start now? I mean, it would be rad if we did, but...
Yeah, there's a lot of answers to the why start now question.
Yeah,
but not a lot of powerful ears hearing those answers.
Do we have any good news to share?
So in Portland, Alan Swinney, who is the guy I famously had a standoff with at a giant street fight last mm-hmm. year, got convicted on 11 out of 12. Charges for repeatedly assaulting people and threatening them with a handgun.
Are you a part of this lawsuit? Or
I was not. No. These were criminal charges. One of the articles that I helped write did make it. I'm being told did make it into the jury deliberations and had an impact. But I can't even really take credit for that because the thing that had an impact was Alan Swinney carried around a GoPro and filmed himself committing crimes and talking about committing crimes. Yeah. And then he dropped it on the ground and lost it. And
what
somebody found it and gave it to a colleague
criminal.
Of mine. He's so
man.
Fucking stupid.
Right.
When he went before the court charged with, again, repeatedly on videotape, illegally assaulting unarmed people with a variety of weapons. One of his excuse for cocking and pointing a handgun at a crowd of people without guns was that he had already shot 4,000 paintballs at them and emptied 2 canisters of bear mace. So he had no other weapons.
What was it?
So wait. His excuse was he ran out of other weapons?
Yeah,
did
he
that,
had already
didn't
fired
hold up?
4,000 paintballs
oh, okay,
into
then,
a crowd.
Buddy.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he that Justin, didn't work.
It did not. One of his other excuses, because he shot someone who was not armed or wearing safety gear or in any way threatening him in the face. And that person, you know, it pressed charges. That was one of his assault charges. And his defense was, well, I didn't mean to shoot that guy in the face. I was trying to shoot a different guy who was wearing a gas mask in the face. And I wanted to shoot him in the gas mask so that he would take it off and I could mace him. Just, like he said this in court. Like he said this to a judge and a jury.
That is.
He's just the stupidest man there's ever
defense.
Been.
So did he like represent himself?
No, but I think his lawyer, because I got to one of the real joys earlier this year was when we put together the article about his videos of him committing crimes and talking about the crimes that he was committing.
And then losing the video published. Of him doing the crimes that he's talking about.
Yeah, I got to reach out to his lawyer and be like, do you have any statements on this? And never got a response,
sure.
Which what could he possibly have said?
I mean, that sounds like a good lawyer, right?
Yeah. I think the lawyer may just have been like, you know what, Alan? Take the stand. Like,
go for it, man. What you got?
There's nothing I can do here.
Give it a go. Do your best.
I wash my hands.
Yeah. Yeah. If you really want to be up in front of the... I think part of it is like it was live streamed. I think Alan thought this was going to be his like Kyle Rittenhouse become a conservative like hero, raise a bunch of money moment if he got up and like talked about what a badass he was and his battles with Antifas. I really do think that was like in his head, like why he was saying some of the shit he was saying is it was all about kind of... being like this image that he's trying to put of himself as like a conservative warrior fighting the communists. Turns out that's a bad legal defense. And also it turns out that like nobody cared because this has gotten no national coverage. And it won't, because none of the people that Alan like claims are his comrades give a shit about him because he's just a stupid asshole and they don't care.
Well, right. I mean,
this is great news. This is a really great update.
It's very funny. It's extremely funny.
It's very funny. Once again, it's just funny.
Yeah, and it's okay. Just really funny.
It's okay. It's okay. Funny.
It's okay. You don't have to like qualify that you don't like the carceral state or whatever. It's just fine that it's like, yeah, it's funny. He's a stupid asshole who fucked his own life up for no reason, because he's an idiot and fuck him.
Yeah, fascist dummy. Funny.
He was a fascist dummy who wanted to hurt people, and he wound up destroying his own life because he's an idiot. And that's very funny. And it's okay to just be like, yeah, it's pretty fucking funny.
Well, I feel like that's a great note to end things on today, yeah. Don't you? Great.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. I could, but not much.
I just got a cramp in my leg, so now I think we should end it. It's fine.
Yeah.
My leg was just giving its agreement.
Yeah. It wants to get out of here. Fast!
I have strong feelings on legs. Not sure we need them anymore, but that's a conversation for another day.
That's interesting. Yeah. I would say knees are less valuable.
He didn't mean it, leg. Maybe we don't need knees. He didn't mean it at all.
What if we were just all knees?
Ooh, oops, all knees.
All knees.
I'd eat that.
Sounds pretty sexy.
It could be.
All right, guys, you can check us out online at Worst Year Pod, and we'll be back next week. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Until then, close your eyes and think of Ningland.
World of
Ningland?
Ningland, yeah.
Everything's so dumb, and it's gonna get dumber.
Great.
I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.